Welcome back to the Dad Show. I'm Dad Pete. And Dave, this one's a hard one. We lost Zosa.
Oh, Pete, I'm so sorry. For all of you. The listeners know Zosa. The air tag, the route, the whole adventure.
The adventurer. And I want to talk about it. Not because it's easy, but because losing her walked our family through something every family with kids and pets eventually faces. And nobody hands you a manual for this one either.
The chapter that should be in the book and isn't. What happened?
So you know her pattern. Out after breakfast, gone for long stretches, home late. We were used to long. She'd stretched her curfew plenty of times. But one day, she just didn't come back.
When did you know it was different this time?
The app. Every other time, there's a ping. The dot shows up somewhere on her route, and everybody exhales. This time, the app was quiet. No ping that night. No ping in the morning. And that had never happened.
The dot just gone. That silence must have been deafening.
And then comes the part I wasn't ready for, Dave. The waiting. Days of it. We walked the property. We walked the neighborhood. We walked her whole route, shaking the treat bag. And I must have opened that app 500 times. First thing in the morning, last thing at night, hoping for one ping.
And the kids are watching you check it.
Every morning. Anything, Dad? And the in-between is its own kind of hard because you can't grieve yet. And you can't quite hope either. You're just suspended.
What do you tell them during the not knowing? There's no answer to give.
You tell the truth about not knowing. We said, we don't know where she is. We're looking. Hoping is allowed, and worrying is allowed, and both at once is allowed. Kids can stand in uncertainty if you stand in it with them. What they can't stand is being managed.
That's the whole thing right there. Don't manage them. Join them.
And then, Dave, we got an answer, and it came from the kindness of a complete stranger. That part of the story, right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Red Heat Tavern in Bedford, Massachusetts, who have supported this show from the beginning. On the hard weeks, and every family has them, it helps to have a place where somebody else does the cooking and nobody rushes the table. Red Heat Tavern, right here in Bedford, Massachusetts. Thanks for standing by the show.
Okay, Pete. Before the break, you said the answer came from a stranger.
A friend of ours was scrolling one of those local lost pets pages on Facebook, and there was a post. A neighbor, two streets over, right in the middle of Zosa's route, had found a cat in their garden, curled up, peaceful, like she'd lain down for one of her famous afternoon naps and just hadn't gotten up.
Oh, Pete.
And here's the part I will never forget. This neighbor didn't know her. Didn't know whose cat she was. Didn't know she had a family two streets away refreshing an app. They found a beautiful little cat in their garden, and they buried her, right there, with a bouquet of wildflowers.
A stranger buried your cat with wildflowers.
Before they even knew if anyone was looking for her, they just decided she deserved to be treated gently. And Dave, that's in this story too, and I don't want it to get lost. People are good. When your family's worst week is happening, somebody you've never met might be out there being quietly kind to you.
How did you tell the kids?
That's the moment nobody prepares you for. Standing in your own hallway, knowing that in 10 seconds your kids have a before and an after. We told the truth, simply. We didn't say she ran away. We said, Zosa died. A kind neighbor found her in their garden and buried her with flowers. She's not coming home. It hurts. And it's okay that it hurts.
No dressing it up.
Kids can handle the truth. What they can't handle is finding out later that you dressed it up, and then you don't fix it. Every dad instinct says find the words that make it better, and there are no words. The job is sitting on the floor of a kid's bedroom being sad together. That's the whole job.
And it's not just the kids who have to be told, right?
That's a part nobody warns you about. The retellings. We called the grandparents, we told the cousins, and on every single call you hear the sadness land fresh on somebody new who loved her. And the kids saw the grown-ups be sad too. I think that mattered, Dave. They learned that sadness isn't a kid feeling. It's a love feeling.
Sadness is a love feeling. And the kids, how did they take it? What did they want to know?
Here's what surprised me, Dave. No drama. Both kids just had questions. Sensible, straightforward, completely direct questions. How did she die? Where was she? Did it hurt? Does Robbie know? That's Zoza's brother, by the way, same litter. Kids don't tiptoe around the thing the way adults do. They walk straight up to it and look at it.
The questions adults are afraid to ask out loud.
Exactly. And we answered them just as straight. And then my son, he's our builder, a little while later, on our family trip, he built a Lego cat. And he was very clear about it. It was not a replacement. Nobody replaces Zoza. It was just a cat, built by a kid working something out with his hands.
The hands stay busy while the heart catches up.
And then one night he said the plainest, truest thing anyone in our house has said about the whole thing. He said, "I'm never going to see Zoza again, and I'm sad."
Kids don't dress it up. That's grief in one sentence.
No metaphors, no silver linings, just the exact size and shape of the thing said out loud. And honestly, that sentence helped me. Kids find their own doors into grief. Straight questions, Lego bricks, a plain, true sentence at bedtime. Your job isn't picking the door. Your job is keeping them all open.
And Robbie, did he know?
Robbie knew. They came home together as kittens. They'd been a pair their whole lives. And for the first few days, he was just lonely, Dave. Wandering the house, checking her spots. And the kids watched him do it. And strangely, that helped. My daughter said, "He misses her, too." It gave their sadness some company.
Creef with whiskers. The whole house felt it together.
Even the chickens seemed to know something was off. Or maybe that was just us. Grief does that. You see it everywhere for a while.
And what did you say to the biggest one? Where is she now?
The honest version of, I don't know. Here's what we believe. Here's what nobody knows for sure. And here's what is for sure. She was so loved. And the love part doesn't stop. That answer held up night after night.
Did anything help with those questions? Any tools in the toolbox?
One, actually. We got a book, The 10th Good Thing About Barney. It's an old classic about a boy whose cat dies, and he tries to come up with 10 good things to say about him. We got it for the kids. And Dave, I read it, and I cried.
The book for the kids got the dad.
Fully ambushed by a picture book. But here's the part that got me. The 10th good thing, the one the boy finally lands on, is that Barney is in the ground now, helping the flowers grow. Dave, Zoza is in a garden, under wildflowers.
The book was about her.
So if you're a dad walking your kids through this, get the book, read it out loud to them, and don't worry about whether you'll make it through the last page, because you won't, and that's fine. Crying in front of your kids over a cat book is allowed. It might even be the point.
You know what strikes me? For days you had no ending, and then suddenly you had one.
And that's something I want dads to hear, because it surprised me. Closure is a gift. It's sad, but sad with an ending beats sad without one, every time. Without that post, every dinner has an empty question sitting at the table, forever. Instead, we know. She was in a garden. Someone was kind. And here's the strange part, Dave. We never saw her again. The last picture we have of her is a completely ordinary morning. Breakfast, the big stretch, out the door. Everything we know about the ending came from a stranger's post. And it was enough. Our grief got a shape.
Did you ever go over there, to the garden?
We did. We took the kids to visit the gravesite, a quiet corner of a garden two streets over, with the wildflowers. And it made it real in the gentlest possible way. A place to stand. A place to say goodbye. If your kids need an ending, sometimes you have to go stand where it is.
A place to stand. That's what closure actually looks like. Okay, last summer you ended her episode with, "The adventurers come home. That's the deal." Does that line still hold?
I wrestled with that, because she didn't make it home, Dave. But then I keep thinking about where they found her. 2 streets over, a garden in the middle of her route. For most cats, home is a house. For Zosa, home was the whole neighborhood. She never left home. She was inside it the entire time.
She just stayed out on it. Can I say the hard part out loud, Pete? She was barely more than a kitten. You didn't get very long.
About a year. And here's the thing I keep coming back to. You always get a pet intending forever. Nobody brings home a kitten thinking anything else. And sometimes, forever turns out to be about a year. That's not a reason you did it wrong, and it's not a reason not to love the next one. That's just part of loving something. You don't get to pick the length, Dave. You only get to pick the love.
You only get to pick the love. For every dad who's going to face this, the short version?
Tell the truth, simply, even the not knowing part. Sit in the sad. Don't fix it. Let each kid find their own door. Take the closure if it's there to be found, and if there's a place to stand, go stand there together. Let strangers be kind to you. And when they ask if it ever stops hurting, tell them the honest thing. The hurting fades. The love part doesn't stop.
Zosa, the neighborhood isn't the same.
Somewhere 2 streets over, there's a garden with wildflowers in it. Best resting spot on the whole route. Until next time, I'm Dad Pete.
I'm Dave.
And this is The Dad Show.